Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I'm excited to preach the word of God to you today, but hey, like Pastor Gareth said, I obviously am the next gen pastor here, so I thought I would come and bear some good news, which is that Jesus is alive and he is working and he is moving in our next generation. And so I have a couple of testimonies that I want to share. Are you guys ready? Yeah? I want to start with some of our youth testimonies. And so there's actually just some really encouraging stats for you guys that I want to go through. And so the first one is, since the start of this year, we've had 32 first-time decisions for Jesus. How awesome is that? Praise God. The average student attendance on a Friday from term two last year to term two now has seen a 68% increase. Isn't that amazing? And this term, we've also seen 30 new people walk through our doors on a Friday and probably hear the gospel for the first time, which is amazing. And also since last year, we've gone from four connects to six connects because we needed to grow as the youth ministry grew. And so how cool is that? That is worth some celebration. And can just for a moment, can we all just celebrate our nation's youth leaders and say thank you? Because like, honestly, I think most of them are over there right now. But what I want you guys to know is that like week in and week out, every single Friday of the school term, they are here from 4 o'clock to almost midnight, creating a service, being on band, being on production, leading, loving, running connect groups. This is every single Friday on top of full-time work schedules, on top of Sunday serving commitments. And like not even that, they like go out of their way to disciple these people and catch up with them and mentor them. And they're amazing. Our youth leaders are absolutely incredible. And so one more round of applause for our youth leaders. Thank you guys so much. Honestly, like, best team ever. But anyway, if those stats weren't enough to get you excited about our youth ministry, I have some testimonies that I want to read out from some individuals. And so the first one is actually Liv's. She was on worship today. If you saw her, she was there. She's over there. She's amazing. And Liv, are you 15? You're 15, right? Yes, that's right. And she texted this through to me, and she said, before Christ, I was a very insecure person, never wanting to go out, post photos of myself, or let my friends see me. On the times I did go out, I was excluding myself from photos and hiding my face. This was a huge struggle for me because as a person, I should deserve to love myself. Then last year, I gave my life to Jesus. It was a decision that changed my life in so many ways, but I was still struggling with insecurity. I was still hiding my face in photos and even in photos with people from church. I was still not accepting myself for who I am and I was jealous of other people. And for a long time going into this year, I was still struggling. But then I realized many things. Not only did I have amazing friends who thought I was beautiful and connect leaders who supported me, but I realized that God made me who I was for a reason. I realized that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I realized that God loved me no matter what and called me his daughter. And she said, God, help me love myself and I will forever praise him for saving me. Come on. We love you, Liv. God's doing such an amazing work in your life. And we also have another one. I'm going to do this one anonymously. It's from another one of our young girls in our youth program. And it says, I first came to Nations Youth in 2020 when my sister asked me to come. Now I come every week and know more about God and grow my relationship with him. I grew up in a religious household where I knew God but didn't practice religion or have a relationship with him. And to be honest, in my first few months of being here at Nations, I came for the lovely people, but as I heard the word each week, I fell more in love with the Lord. I started praying for my family to attend church, and each week I would ask and it would be a no. This affected my relationship with God as eventually I stopped praying and thought that I had tried enough. As I took a break in my prayer and distanced myself from God, I still attended Friday night youth and Sunday church without actually having a relationship that I wanted with God. I strayed from his path without being aware. Then on my holidays, I started missing coming to youth and no longer praising and worshiping. This brought me to the realization that I didn't need a Friday or a Sunday to be with God. I could pray to Him and have my own times of worship without waiting for Fridays or Sundays. And as I mended my relationship with God, I started praying for my family to come again. And I prayed when I went to bed, and I prayed whenever I had time. And then one day my siblings and I asked if my parents would come to church, and they said yes. And they came to one of our services that Sunday. And then I asked if they'd come again the next Sunday, and they said yes. And here's what's amazing. She declares, invitations are life-changing and prayer never fails. Come on. Come on. I remember when I was 15 and learned for the very first time, not coming from a Christian background, that prayer doesn't fail. And you know what? That is the same message that I will keep speaking and keep declaring till the day that I die. And so those moments right there where somebody realizes that prayer is life-changing and that prayer actually works and prayer does something, that's not something to treat lightly. That is amazing. Come on. And you know what? Like, that's just our youth ministry. And God is still moving and He's still working, and there's still more people to reach. There's still, more lives to be transformed. And I'm just really excited for the future of Nations Youth. And, you know, recently taken over Nations Kids and also our young adults. And, you know, we're really building some ground there, and we've seen God do so many amazing things. I just can't wait to see the next generation and where God takes it from here. Amen. Amen. But I just want to extend a quick invitation to anybody that's kind of here today. And you have a stirring in your heart to be a part of serving and imparting into the next generation. Can I tell you that it's actually not just for the young adults to minister to the kids and to the youth. It's actually for all of us because they need all of us. And so if there's something stirring on the inside of you and God has put a burden or something has been placed there that just says that I want to impart, I want to bless, I want to be a part of it, there's actually so many ways that you can serve the next generation. We have a kids team every single Sunday. We have parent patrol on Friday nights. If you have a Friday, one or two Friday nights free a term, and you want to come and you want to bless our youth ministry, you can actually come and be a part of the youth ministry, which is pretty cool. And so if that is something that you want to do, please come and chat with me or even Samara after the service or any one of the guys with the lanyard. We would love to help you find ways that you can impact and be a part of the next generation in the serving aspect. Cool. All right, well, I'm going to pray for our service today, and then we're going to get into the word. So if we could all close our eyes and bow our heads. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we welcome your anointing into this place today. The anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. We thank you for your word, that it is alive and active, and it is sharper than a double-edged sword, that it will pierce our hearts. I pray that there would be a stirring of the Spirit on the inside of us and a call to action today. I thank you that your word by nature is transformative. And so I pray, as we sit under the ministry of your word today, I ask that our hearts would be open, wide open to hearing, to receiving, that the soil of our heart would catch the seed of faith that you are planting today. And we would see so much fruit come from what is about to be imparted into our lives. God, we don't want to walk out the same today. So we come with expectation that you would speak, that you would move, and that you would change our hearts and our lives. And we bring it all to you, our heart, the good, the bad, everything, and we just worship you. And I ask that your name would be exalted and magnified in this place today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sean. Everyone give it up for Sean. Well, earlier this year, I was getting a bit of a download from God about, you know, kind of what was in his heart for our next generation, so our kids, youth and young adults. And I remember sitting in like this kids planning meeting. It was like a very strange time to, I guess, just kind of like completely zone out. Actually, not really a strange time. Those meetings can be a bit long. But I was like sitting there and then I just like disconnected from what was happening in front of me. And God gave me this like this image or this vision of this little boy. And this little boy, probably around 7, 8 years old, he was in his room and the room was a bit of a mess. And he kind of like sprung to his feet really suddenly. And then he started running around and just tidying things. And so he went and he like made his bed, and then he went over and he was dusting his desk, and then he was putting things in the cupboard. And it, you know, it sounds really nice, but it was actually quite a chaotic scene, was this thing that I was seeing. And it was noisy and it was urgent and it was like everything was in a hurry. And his mum walked into the room and was like, "What are you doing?" And this boy just started to yell, "Mum, mum, the king is coming. The king is coming. I'm preparing for a king. You don't understand. He's coming now. I'm preparing for a king." And I honestly, like, I sort of stepped out of this vision that God had given me. And I was a bit like, I don't know, jarred. Like, it was quite a jarring thing that God revealed to me and I saw. And from that moment on, my heart really connected to this instruction in Scripture to prepare the way. And that's what we've been talking about in our youth ministry. It's what we've been talking about in our young adults. And, you know, we're about to launch into a kids series really soon about preparing the way. And my heart has just connected to this instruction. And that is what we've been talking about. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today, because I believe that God is stirring something and he is asking for us to prepare the way for the Lord. And so the irony of this whole thing from even when God started stirring and speaking to me about this is that I'm a notoriously underprepared person. And I was like, prepare the way, sounds all good. But honestly, like, I'm pretty sure my unpreparedness created a job for Samara. Because, like, honestly, without her, I don't know what I would do. Thank you so much. thank you. I like have no other words other than thank you, Samara. And so what this has also done, it's kind of led me to be okay with being a little bit more underprepared, because Samara's got it covered. Thank you again. She really saves my life on so many occasions. And so if you know me at all, you know that I'm just not very organized. I don't like admin. Things kind of just work for me. I don't know why. I can walk into any situation and it's fine. Like, it just works out. But there are moments of my life where my feeling like things are just going to work out and be okay have really come to bite me. And one of them was Samara, Josh and I actually earlier this year were in Nepal. And so just a holiday, was a good time, lots of fun. But about 24 hours before I hopped on a flight to Nepal, I thought, I better go get some money. That's probably going to really help me out. And so I went to Carousel and I hopped around to all the money exchange places and I was like, hey, I just need some Nepalese rupee. And they were like, yeah, you're not going to get that. And I was like, oh, I don't have a travel card. This is a bit awkward. And so they were like, we have about $37 we can give you. And I was like, $37? I'll take it. Like, 2 weeks in Nepal, surely we can make this work. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't trying to do 37. I wasn't doing the whole 2 weeks. I was just like, that'll get me through a little bit. I'll figure it out later. And so I took my $37. And I also thought, oh, hey, like, I'm pretty sure you can also use Indian rupee in Nepal. So I was like, do you have any of that? And they were like, oh, yeah, sure. And so then they gave me some Indian rupee. A couple of hours before I hopped on a plane, realized that there's actually some prison time for taking a certain amount of Indian rupee. And so this isn't a story about me ending up in a Nepalese prison. Just in time, I got the money out of my suitcase. But I headed to Nepal with 37 Australian dollars converted into rupee. And the funny part about it is that I proceeded the rest of this trip. Samara had a travel card, praise the Lord. again, she's saving my life over here. And I was like, we'll just like keep, like we'll just go get some money. It'll be all sweet. We'll figure it out. And so I went, and then I was like, I'm not going to buy a SIM card because I only have $37 and it's just not a priority right now. And then I just proceeded to spend the rest of my 2 weeks in Nepal perpetually running out of money. And it wasn't that I didn't have money in my account that I could use. It was that I wasn't prepared enough to get it out. And so every like couple of days, we just like spent all the money. I'm like, oh yeah, Samara, can you just like take this money out for me now? Without actually thinking through all the money that I was going to need for the rest of my trip. And so she's just perpetually going to the ATM with her travel card, getting me money out as I think I need it. And then we got to this point where we were headed on a bus, like kind of an 11-hour bus ride to a place called Pokhara. And I got on the bus and I was like, man, just so you guys know, we have about $3 between us. And firstly, I'm actually not sure if this bus that we're on is actually headed to where we need to go because it's all very confusing. And we have about $3. And we made a couple of stops. And at those stops, I thought to myself, I'm getting a bit hungry. But we can't afford any food. But it's not that we should not be able to afford food. It's just that I wasn't prepared enough to get any more money out. And so then I bought a packet of chips and I was like, this will get me through. And then get to the next stop. I'm still really hungry. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to buy another packet of chips. Hungry. And then we got to the lunch stop and they were like, this is the lunch stop. And I thought, okay, this is a problem because there's no ATM. I am starving over here. And this, you know, 5-hour bus trip has actually turned into 8 hours and I'm pretty sure we still got 4 hours to go. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And so we get to this lunch stop and I'm thinking, I have no money. So I'm going to do what any other normal person would do and I'm going to have a tea. Because I could afford a tea, 6 cents, incredible. And so Josh and I got a tea, couldn't afford to give Samara one, sorry. And then the funny thing about this was, is that this was the best tea of my life. And I'm not saying that because I was hungry, and because, but it was like incredible. Like this random like bus stop in like some Nepalese mountain thing. And I was like, this is the best tea I have ever had in my entire life. And it cost 6 cents and I can't afford another one. And I was mad. I was really mad. I really wanted another cup of tea, but I couldn't have one. And I kind of like was sitting on the bus at the end just before we reached our destination. And I thought, I am the poorest rich person in the whole of Nepal. How is it that I can actually like have money, but I can't get a 6 cent cup of tea? Like, and I had this moment where I realized this is why preparation matters. It wasn't that I didn't have the capacity to have another cup of tea. It wasn't that I didn't have the capacity to eat lunch that day. It's just that I got on the bus completely underprepared. Completely underprepared. And we know in our lives that when it comes to little things, big things, if we don't prepare, it completely changes our experience and the result of what we actually have, right? No study, no degree. No wedding prep, no wedding. No cooking, no meal. And we know in our hearts and in our heads that if we don't prepare, we dramatically affect the result of what we are going to see. And I think sometimes with the Lord, we just kind of like expect that we can be underprepared. We don't have to prepare our hearts. We don't have to prepare our lives. And we still expect the great big wow result. But the same way it is in the natural is also with the Lord. You need to prepare. And I don't know if you know this, but there is a great move of God coming. But that great move of God that we are to experience also needs preparation. Everyone say, prepare the way. Prepare the way. I want to read a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. It should appear on the screen. And it says, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked road shall become straight and the rough way smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. Great scripture. The passage of scripture that's being quoted is Isaiah 40, and it's in reference to this guy named John. And John was chosen, appointed, and anointed with a very, very special assignment, and that was to prepare the way for Jesus, to prepare the way for the Lord. And for thousands of years, God had been speaking to his people about this Savior, Messiah, Jesus, who was going to come to earth and bring salvation, freedom, restoration for all people. And even after all of their wickedness and even after all of their rebellion, God was going to come and set things right. And there was a time coming that he would come and he would change everything. And then the Spirit of the Lord actually came upon this guy named John, and his assignment and his mission was to prepare for this promise, to prepare for Jesus, to prepare the way for him to come and to set up his ministry. And this was by preaching the message of repentance. And this idea of preparing the way actually comes from the old practice of monarchs who, before traveling into a new place, they would actually send a party or a group of people ahead of them to open up difficult passages, to smooth out roads, to make hills low, to fill in valleys and actually clear the way. You know, the roads of the ancient Near East were for the most part unpaved. It was terrains. It was not easy transport. It was not easy passage. And so they had these people, these heralds, these forerunners that would actually go before to make these paths straight so that the king could come and visit these towns and these places. And these forerunners, they had one job. They had one job, and it was a really hard job, to go and make straight the path for the king to travel on. They would level the hills. Imagine leveling a hill or a mountain. Like, no easy job. They would fill in the valleys, and they would forge new paths for better access. And we too, you and me, are looking forward to the arrival of our king. We are tasked to go and make the crooked path straight, the rough places smooth. We are called to prepare the way in our own lives and in our world for the king to come. What are we preparing for? We're preparing for his return. How many of you know that what was true once, what he prepared, the way was prepared once with John the Baptist, is also true today? He is returning and he is coming again. Do you know this? Do you know that he came once and he's going to come again? And when he does, he is going to separate good and evil, that he is going to judge the righteous and the unrighteous, that he's coming back, not for a lazy bride, but a prepared bride. What else are we preparing the way for? We're preparing the way in our lives, in our families, in our friends, in our mental health, in our plans, in our future. We're preparing the way for God to come and move. We're preparing the way in this generation and this time to see a manifestation of his glory and his Spirit, so that we see people restored. We see people come home to him. We want to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're preparing the way for a manifestation of the presence of God in this generation. We're preparing for a visitation with the king. I want a mighty move of God. Do you, Nations Church? Do you want a mighty move of God? Do you want to not just read about it or watch it on TV, but experience it, be a part of it? I don't want to be benched because I didn't train. I want to be a part of it here and now, in this generation, in this time, in my life, in the generations to come. I want to play my part and do my thing. But you know what? It's going to require some preparation. It's going to require some preparation. And so really quickly, I have 3 points of how we can prepare the way for the Lord in our lives. Are you ready? The first one is level the mountains. Level the mountains. There are things that we need to clear out of our lives. And this is one of the uncomfortable bits, because it means we have to start confronting our sin. It means that we need to start confronting the things in our life that perhaps are permissible but not beneficial. God commands us to be holy, to live holy lives. There are things that we need to interrogate and confront. There are some things in our life and in our heart that we need to repent of and remove. There are some mountains that need to be leveled. What was John Baptist the message? It was repentance. And repentance, it's not a dirty word. Repentance heals. Repentance saves. Repentance restores. Repentance cleanses. And it prepares the way for the Lord. In the Old Testament, repentance looked like, you know, sacrifices and preparing an altar and all of that kind of stuff. But in the New Testament, preparing like the way in repentance looks internal. It looks like a preparation of our heart. It looks like removing the unholy things in our lives. Because God deals seriously with sin. He wasn't passive with our sin. He died on a cross. He died on a cross. When did we get passive with our sin? Sin is not good. It hurts me and it hurts God. And I don't want it. Repentance is a change of mind. You know, once I was okay with this. Once I was all good living in this way. Once it was just a part of me, but then God got a hold of me and I've changed my mind. It's a change of heart and a change of mind. It's a turning away. And there are some things in our life that we need to turn away from, that we need to flee. Pride. The mountain of pride. Anger. Porn. Unhealthy relationships. Unforgiveness. Our certain comforts, our TV, like what we watch, our work addictions, our secret struggles with evil. I'm not here to preach a nice fluffy message because preparing the way was hard. Preparing the way wasn't easy. It required leveling mountains. And there are some things and some areas in your life, your secret struggles with sin and evil that need to be leveled. And you can't be passive with it, Nations Church. God was never passive with our sin, and we shouldn't be either. We should not be okay and content with the pride that exists in our heart that refuses to respond to the altar when you know that you need to. That is pride, and it is evil, and it is not God, and it is not going to give you life, and it is not going to set you free. The comforts that you hold on to, they are not going to bless you and they are not going to bless your generations. That porn addiction, that is not blessing your marriage. That is not blessing you. There are some things in our life that we have to deal with. But if you refuse to confront it, if you refuse to interrogate it, if you pretend it's not there, it's not going to leave. We have to level some mountains in our life by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. We don't do it on our own. Don't hear me wrong. We do not level the mountains on our own. We do it with the supernatural grace that He has given us. But how can you level what you don't even acknowledge exists? How can you level what you refuse to interrogate? We need to level some mountains in our life. We need to raise the valleys. Point number two, raise the valleys. It's not just about removing things from our life. There are things that we need to add. Prayer. A prayer life. Scripture meditation and reading and study. Christian counseling. Some of us have lived traumatized for too long. And you need Christian counseling. Accountability, fasting, mentorship, regular church attendance, a connect group. Some of you need a connect group. Tithing, time in worship every day, godly friends, a pursuit of gifts of the Spirit. There are not only things that we need to remove from our life, there are things that we need to add. Things that are going to fan into flame the gift of God. Things that are going to encourage you to live larger. Things that are going to bless you and your family and the generations to come. We need to stop living our life like godly wisdom and instruction is optional or an added extra. He gives us these things and these tools because they're good for you. He's either true or he's not. Is he true, Nations Church? Yes. Yes, he is. And if he says it's good, and if he gives you the instruction, and if it's in scripture, then man, it will bless you and it prepares the way for the king. The revival that I believe we're about to experience is one of holiness. And if you're looking for a way to mitigate the cost, you've missed the point. Is it going to be hard? Yeah. Is it going to cost you something? Yeah. Is it going to feel convenient and easy? No. But his grace and his mercy is sufficient for us. And he is readily available to pour out the strength that you need to prepare the way for him. And the last thing I want to talk about super briefly is clearing a new path. We need to clear a new path. You know, if we're going to see what we've never seen before, you got to do what you've never done before. How many of you know that when Peter decided to jump off the boat and onto the water, outside of Jesus, he'd never seen anyone walk on water before? If we want to go somewhere that we've never gone before, then you got to be willing to do things you've never done before. What is that to you? What is that to you? Maybe it's praying for somebody who's sick. Maybe it's preaching to that work colleague. And for some, maybe it's even giving into building our future. Serving on a next gen team. Maybe it's thinking outside of yourself and your family and your bubble, and it's investing into something bigger. Because here's what I want you to know. We here in this room are the pre's or the forerunners to somebody else. There were people that went before, like we've been talking about, and there are people that will go after. And in this room, you are the pre to somebody else, but you're also the now for somebody else. God wants to do something now in this generation because of the generation that has gone before. And there are things that he wants to do in the next generation because of what you do here and now. And we have a choice. Are we going to prepare the way? Am I going to be part of building the future? Or am I going to leave it to somebody else? Because here's the thing about preparation is that preparation is about expectation. And if you don't have expectation that God is going to do something, then why would you prepare for it? But let me tell you, I believe that there is something coming that we've never seen before. And there's a call to action now. I want to invite the worship team to come up. You know, we don't get to decide when or how, the time or the season. God can't be manipulated. We can't manufacture a revival, and we're not trying to. We don't get to tick boxes and treat God like an equation. We just get to be expectant and ready to make the path straight. I want to read a passage of scripture in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 10. It says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for us both and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet and the door was shut. Here's the crazy thing about this story is that all 10 wanted to go to the wedding, but only 5 were ready now. All 10 were ready and, well, not ready, they wanted to be at the wedding, but only 5 were prepared now. Will you prepare now or when it makes sense to, when it's more convenient, when you have the next big encounter? Preparation isn't a later thing. His instruction isn't to be caught by surprise. It's to prepare in expectation. And I wonder, are you going to prepare now or are you going to prepare someday? Are you going to prepare now or someday? Because Jesus isn't coming back for a bride with good intentions. He's coming back for a prepared bride. One that doesn't want to deal lightly with sin and say, oh, I'll deal with that sin issue later. When it's better, when it's more convenient. Preparation means now. We all know that person who says, oh, I'll study another day and then never gets there. Preparation means now. What do you need to lay down today, not someday?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.